I'll tell you the number one New Year's resolution throughout the nation and the world is to lose weight. Does it work? Sometimes. If you can, but that, you know, it doesn't even have to be New Year's. It's just making a statement you're going to do something and sticking by it. See, and I think as we bring in this new year in 2014, I kind of brought together a message called a clean slate.
I like that.
Okay? When you got a whiteboard or a chalkboard, and you know, you're getting ready to do a new lesson, what do? You wipe off all the stuff that was on there, right? You make it a clean slate, and then you start putting stuff on that is for what you want to do up and coming, okay? So if we will turn to Romans, and I have a lot of scriptures this morning, so I hope that you can kind of follow on the scriptures up there, but turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Chapter 13. And we're going to start with verse 10 and go to verse 14. Stand with me, please. Promise that you will not be standing very long, and this will kind of give you the exercise so that for the next 2 hours you guys will be able to sit. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It neither hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. That's a good statement. We all should and can learn from that four-letter word, love. The more love our nation can give, the more love our world can give, we would probably see less wars and less things happening. But let me go on. Verse 11 says, besides this, you know what a critical hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality. For salvation, final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted to, in, and relied on Christ the Messiah. The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and deeds of darkness, and put on the full armor of light. Interesting. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness, not in immorality or debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. That's a big mouthful, isn't it? That's a lot to do. But clothe yourself. Here's what I like. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh, but put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires or its lusts. Wow. There's a lot to be said in those four scriptures. I like the way it starts off with love, but it does enlighten us a lot about what has taken place. Heavenly Father, I pray this day, God, that you help us. Enlighten our hearts to what you want. Help us to prepare a clean slate for you for this year and for you to fill it with your desires, what you want. As we write, let us write what you want in our hearts, I pray, in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. A clean slate. I like where it starts out where it talks about love. The very first part of a clean slate is learning to love one another. Christ gave us the Ten, or God gave us the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Christ gave us one more commandment, and that was that if we can do that commandment, the Ten Commandments could follow suit very easily. And that's it. We love ourselves, and that we love those around us. Love. Love covers a multitude of... Does it? It does. All the faults, all the failures, all the problems that we have in our life can be covered if we can just learn to love one another. As we start another new year, I want to talk a little about how we should leave the old and how we should enter the new. Start it with a clean slate. So, what are you planning on leaving behind as you enter this new year? Think about that. As we leave 2013, I think we should make sure and leave behind the sins, the resentments, the problems, the discouragements, anything that can take you down, leave it there. Leave it there. Anything that can weigh you down, leave it there. God wants us to keep short accounts with Him and get right with Him on a daily basis. Ooh. That means we need to learn to get right with God daily. Okay? Or do we have any perfect human beings in here this morning? I do not see any hands raised. So I'm assuming that you're not perfect. And that's including me. We all make mistakes. So that's why God says, make short accounts. Don't make it too long before you go to the Lord. Too many Christians go from Sunday to Sunday to see God. Short accounts to me means day by day. Every day you wake up, you make an account with the Lord. When you go to bed, you make an account with the Lord. Okay? Try to make your day good. But if you make a mistake, take it to the Lord. Make it short accounts. See, the devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil would like you to turn around and just forget about it. Oh, it wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad. Just hold off. So you hold off one day. Then you hold off 2 days. Then you hold off. After a full week of holding off, you've got a lot of load to let loose up. And it makes it hard. And it makes it hard for you to come to the God's house and be able to praise and worship Him if you carried this load upon you all week. So God says, make short accounts. And go to Him daily. You know, He wants this new year to be a new beginning for us. To make a fresh start. And like I said earlier, the number one resolution in America, and I believe throughout the world, the number one resolution is to what? Lose weight. I make that every January 1st. And by January 2nd, it's already lost. But I try. You know, my resolution always usually works out. I'll make it every month. You know, I'll try every month to lose a few pounds. And God's been helping me on that. And, you know, definitely the appetite has to work on that scene. I'm working with my kids, my girls on that, and we're all trying to work it together, you know. So when we went to Walmart yesterday, we passed McDonald's. My girls were really good, said, we're not going to go. And so I was the bad boy. I said, okay, then I'll go eat the McMac in front of you. Well, that didn't last because then they ended up giving in and going in. So I was the bad boy. So either being trying not to do that. But let me read to you a little something here. A wife came into a bathroom to see her husband standing on the scales with his stomach sucked in. Well, she looked at him and she said, that's not going to help you sucking that stomach in. It wouldn't make any difference, and it's not going to help you to lose weight. But he said, but you're wrong, honey. It will help me. The reason why it will help me, if I don't suck it in, I won't be able to see the numbers on the scale. What could I say? He had the right conclusion, but the point was trying to lose the weight to make it so he wouldn't have to suck it in. But I say today that you need to make a resolution. And that resolution is to be fat. Should I explain what I'm talking about? Number one, you can write these down too. Number one, we must learn that we must be faithful. Faithful. How faithful are you in Jesus Christ? Are you faithful just when it's convenient to do so? Or are you faithful even when it isn't convenient? Your focus on Jesus? And do you do things for His glory even when it is inconvenient to do so? Is your focus on Jesus? Do you focus on Him when it isn't convenient to focus on Him? See, that's being faithful to the Lord. And God wants us to be faithful. Okay? He wants us to be faithful in our time. He wants us to be faithful in our walk with Him, our prayer time. When you're out and no other Christians around, He wants you to be faithful. When you're out with your friends and they might not be Christians, He wants you to be faithful. See, there's a lot going in that little statement, faithful. Faithful means a whole lot more than being just faithful to God when you come to church. Faithful means to be faithful to Him no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're in play, when you're with your friends. See, the devil doesn't want you to be faithful. He wants you to say, no, and other Christians will know what you'll do. But God knows, because He knows all. He sees all. So God wants us to be faithful. My next little statement's going to hit ground here. God also wants us to be faithful in our tithes and our offerings. He wants that. See, God wants to bless you and I. How many of you believe that God wants to bless you? That should be either raise my hand or amen or oh my. But yes, He does. God wants to bless you. But there's requirements to that. Okay? So God wants us to be faithful. Number two to that, God also wants us to be available. F-A, I'm getting to it. He wants us to be available. My question to you, how available are you? Do you go to church when it's convenient to do so? Or just when you're not tired? Uh-oh. Or do you go to church even when you are tired and would rather be doing something else or sleeping a little longer? God wants you to be available. Do you reach out to others only if you know them or even when you do not know them? God wants you to be available. In other words, are you really available to do what God wants you to do? Being available to God means exactly that. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you're available. Do you understand that God could call upon you at any point in time? You could be at Walmart, walking down the aisles, see somebody, and God says, go over and talk to them. Are you available? But Lord, I don't know them. Go over and talk to them. You do not know why you're to go over and talk to them, but God does. So the reason could be they could be hurting. They could be sick. They could be down and out. And you just going over, introducing yourself, and saying, I just wanted to let you know that you know, God loves you. What a simple statement. But that means that you are available. There's a whole lot more to being available for God than just coming to church. God wants you to be available. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be available. And not only faithful, not only available, God says that you must be teachable. F-A-T. See, now this is something that you can learn and take with you. I always like little things that, you know, you pick up on. You know, those of us that have gone through school or college or whatever, you try to pick up on ways to learn something easy. So you pick on abbreviations, you know, and math's a hard one to pick up on abbreviations. I tell you, I was working with my daughter last night in her Algebra 2 class, and it got one point on grouping. I don't know what grouping is, you know. And so we end up having to let that one go, and we'll study it today. But it's the point, and when you're anywhere, if you can learn abbreviations or learn some way to lengthen it down or take it down and make it so that you can understand it, then you'll know it. Well, this fat, everybody knows the word fat. But if you put that together, faithful, available, teachable. Now, are you truly teachable? Are you willing to listen and study the Bible and grow spiritually, or do you get irritated and quit listening? See, you have to understand that is Satan using your self-will and pride to keep you away from the Lord and keep away from learning what God wants you to learn. Listen to all the advice you can get, then analyze it and study it. Discard what will not help you and hang on dearly to life, to that which will help you. See, that's the way I look at it. There are certain things in our life that we learn that we don't really care to learn at that point in time. You know? So God says, take hold of everything. Listen to everything. Analyze it. Pick out what will be beneficial for you for that day, and let what is not beneficial by the wayside. Now, that's the way God wants to teach us. He wants to teach you in whatever way that he can. You know, thank you, Alexis. I don't know what's going on back there. But God wants to teach us. To be a Christian who is walking forward for the Lord and not just sitting on one spot or in one spot, claiming the miracles of Christ, we need to be fat, faithful, available, and teaching. And the question I ask this morning, are you? Are you available? Are you faithful? Are you available? And are you teachable? Now, that's just the very beginning of my message this morning. I don't know if we'll get through this or not, but let's go on. To have us a clean slate in 2014, we must leave the past behind us. Is that okay? And I know some of you guys will say, amen to that. You know, you had a hard year. I mean, I'll even raise my hand to it. It's not, I mean, 2013 was a very difficult year for a lot of people, you know. So I think it's good. Wipe it clean. God says, let's start over. We're in January. You got a whole month, a whole year ahead of you to make good things and obviously make mistakes, right? And learn from your mistakes. We have to learn to be fat Christians. Okay? We have to learn to be fat Christians. It just doesn't happen overnight. To be faithful in God just doesn't take place overnight. It takes, to me, it really takes you working at it. You know, you got to be commitment to be faithful. You have to be commitment to be committed to be available. You have to be committed to be teachable. See, and it takes that time. So it takes time. So we're starting this year off with a clean slate. When we pray, we often take our needs to the Lord and ask Him for His help in dealing with them. But then, what do we often do? You know, I used to, a church I used to pastor in Ronnerville, as they came in the foyer of the church, I put a trash can there for a couple of Sundays. It was an illustrated sermon that I was doing, and I put that trash can there the first Sunday, and people were really walking in the door looking at that trash can, trying to figure out, what is that trash? Did the pastor forget to take, the trash out? Pastor. So as the message progressed, I explained to the people, said, for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about forgiveness, and we're also going to talk about things that you need to leave, let go, put away, and not take back. We talked about different sins in their lives. Cigarette smoking. Now, it's not a sin to everybody, but it's a sin if you make it the sin by you are convicted. And let me tell you this. Sin is sin if you are convicted of it. Is that okay to say it that way? I'm not going to go around telling somebody that smoke cigarettes, that they're sinning. And they're going to go to hell. I'm not going to do that. That's old school Pentecostal. I'm not going to do that. Okay? But I am going to pray to God that God will talk to them. And if it's truly God's will for them to stop whatever that sin might be, that He'll lay it upon them. Now, if God has laid it upon your heart that this is wrong and you continue to do it, what does it become? A sin. And I don't care what it is. Is that okay to say that? I don't care what it is. If God has told you, not me telling you, no person telling you, but if God has talked to your heart and said, this is wrong, you should not be doing this, and you feel that convicting force in your heart, that is God instructing you to stop whatever that is. You have the ability to say, yes, Lord, I know, and to stop it. Or say, no, this is not, and you continue it. Well, in the midst of my message, you say, I have an easy way for you to do this. I put a trash can at the back of the church. And whatever your fault, whatever your failure is, whatever your sin is, I want you, as you are walking in the door of the church, to throw that in that trash can. It's very simple. Now, I was meaning... metaphorically, I was talking spiritually. You don't even want to know what was in that trash can, physically. There was things that, I mean, I'm from Humboldt County, you know, Humboldt County. Can you kind of put two and two together what was in that trash can? There was lots of things in that trash can that, that I had to end up throwing out. But generally... the thing I was explaining to them is, and I'm telling you this morning, that when you give up a sin or give up something before God, and you pray, God, relieve me of this burden. Relieve me. I want a new and I want a clean slate with you, oh God. I want this clean slate. And God says, okay, good. Then leave your sins behind. Leave your problems behind. Leave your resentments behind. That's spiritually. God could also be telling you to take whatever that might be that can be stopping you from going forward for Him and to relieve yourself of it, whatever it might be. Okay? So you say, Lord, I am willing. At that moment of the time, that spiritual awakening, yes, it's easy. But then you got to walk out the door. Then you got to walk out the door. And that's where the trash can comes. I said, leave it in the trash can. You know how many people turn around when they leave the church or leave that great spiritual feeling, that uplifting that they've received from the Lord, and when they walk out the door, they get back in the flesh and they want to pick up that problem and take it with them. God says, leave it here at the altar. Leave it here at the altar. And so many Christians, I'm not talking about non-Christians this morning. I'm talking about Christians this morning that at the spiritual highlight, in the moment, that spiritual high, and when they're really feel in the presence of God, it's easy to release that burden, to release that resentment, to release that sin. It's easy once, if you're feeling good and you're feeling the spiritual high that God can give. But then when you finally come back down and you're back in your flesh, it's what you do in the flesh. God knows He can the lifting of your spirit and making you feel good, but God also knows that the flesh is weak. So God is saying, it's not what you feel here, it's what you take and walk out the door. If you pick it back up and take it with you. That's your commitment. Again, F-A-T. If you are a fat Christian, I'm not saying you're a perfect Christian. I'm not saying that you don't make mistakes. But I'm saying if you're a fat Christian, when you make a mistake, that fat Christian will look at all the aspects of what it takes to walk out that door and leave that resentment, leave that sin, leave that problem, and walk out the door without it. See? Are you with me, everybody, this morning? So we must learn to leave the past behind. God wants us to look forward. The devil would rather us to look back. But we must press toward the mark. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. See? God wants us to look forward and not look back. When you turn around and look, what happens when you look back? You turn into salt. A pillar of salt. Now, I don't think any of you this morning want to be a pillar of salt. So I say, don't look back. It gets you in trouble. Amen? None of us want to get in trouble, right? I hope you all want to go forward with the Lord and not backwards. God, you know, I like racing cars. I think some of your Indy cars, the Formula, am I right? Tom, a Formula car doesn't have reverse, it's only got forward gears? Okay. I like that because it makes sense. It makes sense that you're only going to go forward. You're not going to go backwards. And those sprint cars, those Formula One cars, they don't go backwards too well. But they sure can go forward good. So I think that we need to think of ourselves, you're a Formula One race car. It's how good you can do and flip those gears and go forward for the Lord. Okay? We talk about our walk in life, our walk of faith, our walk with the Lord. By its very nature, walking means moving forward. And as we move forward, we are always doing two things. We're leaving one place and we're going to another. Do you understand that? So when we're always going forward for the Lord and we're walking by each step we take, guess what? I just left that place. Hey, I just got here. Oh, I just left that place. I got here. You're going forward from place to place with the Lord. See, with young people, it's easy to understand that because you know that when you're younger, you're always going forward doing different things and trying new things. As we get older, sometimes we have a tendency to have a little bit more fear about doing new things. What's the saying? You can't teach an old dog new tricks? Yes, you can. It just takes more work. So I'm not saying that we're old dogs, but sometimes it takes a little bit more work to teach us a lesson and to help us go forward for the Lord, or for anything for that matter. Number two on that not only are we to leave the past behind, we are to leave our resentment behind. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Whoa. What's that telling you and I? If you got your hand to the plow, you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, and it's not going to be an easy walk, I guarantee you that. But you've taken that commitment. You have finally come to the point where you say, I'm a fat Christian. Come on. You've taken that commitment. You made that commitment. What's the Bible telling you in that scripture? Don't look behind. Satan wants you to look in your past. Satan wants you to say, well, look what you did in the past. Now you can't do that. Well, I'll tell you, some of the things in my past I don't even want to even know about. Everything in my past I don't want to. I want to look forward to what God has for me tomorrow, the next day. If you look back, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Each of us resents something. We might resent something we have said and done, or we might resent what someone else has said or done. But along with resentment comes unforgiveness. And that's a hard one, and I deal with that with my patients all the time. I cannot forgive them. I've heard my patients say this. I've heard them, and I just in my heart shrink. Golly, if you can't forgive what your neighbor or your family has done, how do you expect God to forgive you? And these are people that are Christian people, claim to be Christian people, you know, but they have resentment or unforgiveness. God says, if you cannot forgive your neighbor for what they do, I can't forgive you. Amen? Come on. God, and really, it does not make a difference what somebody has done. What resentment is out there that can hold you from the kingdom of God? Is it worth it? No, it isn't. Forgive them. Forgive and let it go. Okay? Forgive and let it go. Jesus says that if we forgive, God will forgive us. But if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. Now, we must understand that to forgive does not mean the same thing as to forget. Okay? We cannot erase our memories. So you are going to... And I'm telling you what, the devil knows our memories. And the devil has a tendency to bring back our bad memories, to bring back those things that maybe we have forgiven, but we haven't forgotten. Ooh. So we cannot erase. It would be good to say that, you know, a clean slate would mean erase all of our bad things, all of our bad thoughts, all of our resentments. You know, we can forgive them, but it's hard to forget them. But see, we can erase our resentment. You can erase that. You know, I know I've had times, and I've had a lot of problems, that I've had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. You know, I have an aunt that, to this day, it's been very, very difficult for me to forget and understand. I was her only last relative, yet I was alienated because she took and was befriended, was deceived by a neighbor. Neighbor took her on, took and conned her into signing her house over, conned her into signing all of her finances over to her. And when it came to the funeral, and I went to the funeral, I wasn't even mentioned in that. So was that hard? Was that? That's called resentment, by the way. Did I have to learn to forgive? Oh, yes, Lord, I did. But it's still hard to forget. I can erase that resentment, which I have, but it's very difficult to understand, you know. And sometimes it does come back to my memory. I'm not going to tell. When I deal with patients all the time, and I'm dealing with patients that are going through certain scenarios of that same thing, it just sets it up into me to help them understand, don't let this happen. Get in touch with your family. Don't alienate your family. Get in touch with them And don't let somebody deceive you about your family. Your family is your family. So I'm saying, yes, we can erase that resentment. I like this old saying, look lovingly upon your enemies, for it is you that have made them your enemies. Come on. You can make friends or enemies. It's up to you to make them. So the Bible is telling you to look lovingly upon your enemies. Okay, leave your worries behind. Worries are very much like rocking chairs. They give you something to do, but they never take you anywhere while you're doing it. We only worry about two things. Things we can change and things we cannot change. Why waste time doing something that only hurts us and never helps us? When we worry, it also causes some mental illness, much stress, and many other things that destroy our lives. Worry has killed more people than hard work ever did. Amen. Worry is the cause of fear. So leave your worries behind as you enter into the new year. And I've heard this over and over again, that the stress of worry has taken people's life. The stress of worry. And Mark, the one that we're talking about that's in the hospital, Ray was telling me the reason why he got there. The reason why he got there, stress, worry. His blood pressure went to 230 over 190, I believe. Now that's stroke level, death level. That blood pressure was so high that it broke a blood vessel in his brain. And it started to bleed. It started to bleed and would not stop. They had to get the blood pressure under control before they could get the blood to stop flowing in his brain, which could have taken his life. What caused it? Now we know. Stress. Worry. Why do you think God says don't worry? You know? And don't be anxious over anything. Don't worry what tomorrow will prevail. Just be concerned of what you can do today. There's a reason why God said that. You know, he knew that us human beings are worry warts. We worry about everything. Come on. We are not fat Christians. We're skinny. I haven't figured out the letters for that. I'm going to have to work on that one. Skinny, and figure out what skinny means. You know, come up with something spiritual and skinny. I want to be a fat Christian. But I don't want to be a fat person. Leave your failures behind. We try so hard to be the best we can be, but we don't always succeed. And it is when in those times when we don't succeed that we get discouraged because we have failed. Well, now let me talk to you about failure. But what have we failed in? We may not have achieved just what we originally set out to achieve, but we really didn't fail. Okay? The only time you fail is when you don't try to do something. We need to understand that God has called us to have faith long before he ever called us to achieve. We are called to be in Christ. As long as we are in him, we are successful. You might not have achieved what you think you need to achieve, but as long as you are going forward, guess what? You're successful in getting that foot forward. Hey, you're successful. You moved forward. Every step you take, you're going forward for the Lord, so you are achieving. Maybe not what you want. I am the worst enemy of my own self. Because I set goals so high, too many times my standards are higher than what I can expect. And when I don't make them, and I don't accomplish what I feel I should, I beat myself over the head because I failed. God has to come on the scene and say, you didn't fail. You just overextended what you thought you could do. Now let's start over again and let's do baby steps and achieve one step at a time. And then all of a sudden now you're achieving. You're not failing. You're achieving. You're not failing. That's what God is telling every Christian today. Don't set your goals above your expectations of what you can do. Set your goals to achieve one step at a time, and you will succeed in that through the Lord. See, the devil wants you to fail, because if he can get you to failure, then he'll continually knock you down, knock you down, knock you down, till your Christian walk becomes skinny, not fat. I'll come up with that skinny. Okay? Part of going forward is leaving the past behind. Leave your sins behind. If you've never been saved, consider the clean slate available to you now. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous, the moral and the spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, behold, the fresh and the new has come. Christian, God, in his long-suffering love for us, gives us second chances. He'll always give us a do-over. Anybody ever seen that movie or the TV program, the do-over, the makeover? Well, that's God. He's given you a do-over. You can do it again. He's given you a second chance. Second chance. 1 John 1:9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Woo! That's a clean slate. That's a clean slate. Now, let me go to the next step on that one. After you have let the past go, you must learn to grab hold of the future. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? The past has passed, but your future is an unwritten book. You write your future day by day. Each new year represents to us that there is a whole range of new opportunities for us, an unlimited chance to have a better life. We need to be very wise as we step through the doorway of time. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we're going to make the best of the future, we need to understand a few things. And the first thing we need to really, really get a hold of is that our time on earth is limited. Our time here is but a whisper. According to the scripture, it's a vapor. And if you know what a vapor is, it's steam. And what does steam do? It comes up, it goes out, and it's gone. So our life here is but a vapor of time compared to eternity. I try to explain that to my patients, that their time is here a very short period of time compared to eternity. Our life in eternity is forever and ever and ever. And that is so hard to understand. But if we can grasp a hold of that and understand that, then we will understand that this life here on earth is but a limited time. What seems like forever to us is only a blink of an eye to the Lord. The psalmist writes that our life lasts no longer than a vapor of our breath. It is here and then it is gone. Your time is limited, and it is your responsibility to make the best of it. Do not lose what you have to overload. What is overload? That means you put too many things in the pot and you try to do them all. And what happens? You continue and you're always busy. I've had seen and known of so many Christians that go into overload. And why they go into overload is because they're trying to be that super Christian. God doesn't want you to be that super Christian. God wants you just to be a Christian for Him. He wants you to be fat for Him. Faithful. Available. Okay? That's what He wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be that super Christian that thinks that you're going to save the whole world. Because guess what? You're not. We have a world of Christians that can help one another. That's where it comes to not overloading yourself, but gleaming and working and being a part of a family, a fellowship. It's very important to have a fellowship. It's very important to put that together. Ephesians 3, 1 through 2 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted." This is Jerry's translation. There is a time to plant, and there is a time to be planted. You have to understand, there are times when we plant, when we go out and we minister to others. We're planting seeds. But with that all being said, if we overload, maybe it's time for somebody to plant us and help us to grow. There's a time to grow, and there's a time to be planted to learn to grow. You can't do it all yourself. That's where stress comes in. That's where all these other things I've been talking about come beforehand. If you allow all these other things and you get overloaded, you're no good for yourself, you're no good for God, and you're no good for the family of God if you get overloaded. And that's an amen corner. Time management is not as difficult as it seems to be at first. First, and let me give you this thing. Write this down if you want. First, we need to learn to list all the things we have to do. Then go back over that list, assigning a number to each on your list, with number one being the most important, and on down from there. Then make another list, listing each of those priorities in numerical order, starting with one. Now you have the most important things in your life already written down before you. And all you have to do is to figure out about when you will do them and how long you will spend on each item. Now, for instance, if prayer is on your list, and I surely hope that it is on your list, right? You write it down daily and either put a time period or total amount of time that you're going to spend in prayer. It doesn't require that you have to do it at 6 a.m. in the morning or 10 p.m. at night. But if you put it in a numerical order and you set it up there, well, I'm going to pray half hour a day during that day. See, then you haven't stressed yourself out that if you didn't make it to 6 in the morning and you set that timetable, you're going to. If you didn't make it, now you're stressed the whole day because I didn't start my day. God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to overload. But I say that if it's on your list, which I hope it is, I'm going to set a half hour a day aside for prayer. Guess what you've done? You've got 24 hours to do that. So you don't have to overload. I missed it at 6 in the morning. Well, at noon, okay, I'm going to do my half hour now. Or if you have to, segment it out. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 15 minutes here. Do you understand that when you start to do this and you lay it in as a point of a priority, you lay that in, you'll do it. Then all of a sudden that half hour doesn't seem so long. And you'll find yourself spending an hour and a half. See, young people, you have a hard time with time management. And I know you guys do. All you young people do. You're overloading all the time. You know? And you always figure out schoolwork can be done on Friday, on Thursday night at 10 o'clock because I have a test on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Now tell me if that's not overload. When you had all week to study for the test, but you wait until 10 o'clock on Thursday night to study for it on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. That doesn't work. But if you will take a segment and schedule your time to do this, and you work on it during the week, come Friday, you'll be ready for it. Same thing goes with the Lord in our spiritual walk. He wants us to be time management. Manage our time. God gave you a brain. Every one of you got a brain. Does anybody not have a brain here? No raising of hands, so you all have brains. So if you have a brain, then you ought to be able to utilize that brain for time management. We must go into our new year with our eyes wide open so we can grab a hold of everything God is going to give to us. And that means to pay attention to Him, not just giving Him that occasional thought in passing. We can only do that if we realize our time is limited. So we have to prioritize to keep from getting bogged down into overload. Now, know that the Lord never says that you are to be comfortable. But He does, however, expect us to focus on Him and not things of this world. Now you have a choice. You can go into this new year taking everything with you, all your resentments, all your past sins, all your problems of everybody else around you, all your worries, all your stress. Be my guest. You can do it. I guarantee you'll overload real soon, but you can do it. God gives you that choice. See, I told you, you're the sum total of the choices you make in life. Now, you can choose to carry that load with you. Or there's a trash can back there. And you can choose to leave all that load in that trash can, walk out of here with a new clean slate, and take each day as a segment and time management your time and do what God wants you to be and become fat Christians. Do you understand what I say? God wants to give you a do-over today for 2014, and it's up to you to either accept it or reject it. It's up to you to realize I can leave it all in that trash can, all my past, all my problems, all my resentments, all my sins, all my worries, all my stress. I can leave it there and walk out of this building with a clean slate for Jesus. It's a brand new year. I can go home today. I can take a piece of paper. I can write things down that I need to do. Things I need to do for the Lord. Things you need to do for yourself. Write them down. Prioritize them. And start living for God through that priority statement. And do not overload myself. If I feel like I'm getting overloaded, I can take a step. Hold up. Take a deep breath. And say, okay, Lord, don't let me overload. Let me become the fat Christian you want me to be. And that's my message for you this morning. Come on. I hope I have said something that will help you get this new year in the right perspective. Get this new year. God has given you a new beginning. I always like a new year because I call it you got a new beginning. Guess what? Everything in the 2013 is gone. And by some of us will say, praise the Lord to that. I'm glad 2013 is over with. See, you can't bring back the past. You can relive the past if you so desire. And there are many people out there that are reliving their past daily because they haven't figured it out. I don't want to do that. I want to go forward. You know, God's not telling you to take big steps. God's telling you to take one step at a time. And as you take that step, you're moving forward for the Lord. Let's do that this year. Let's see what God's going to do for us this year. Let's see what God can do with this church this year. Amen? You know, and it's just not the pastor. I can't build this church. I'll say amen to that myself. I cannot build this church myself. God will build a church, but he'll build it with his sheep. Guess who's the sheep? Look at your neighbor and say, you look pretty white today. Nice and fluffy. You're the sheep. God says, I'll build my church with the sheep. Go out. Go out. Talk to people. Encourage them. Be a blessing to them. Make 2014 something special. And God can truly, if you want to, this building could be packed to overflowing if the sheep would just be got sheep. You got to learn to do that. So take 2014. And I'd say make it, I would ask you that when you go home and you start making out that priority list and you start numbering them, somewhere on that list is I'm going to see, like, every day I'm going to make an initiative to talk to somebody about the Lord. Or once a week. But don't overextend yourself. Don't say every day. Say once a week, I'm going to make an initiative to talk to somebody about the Lord. See, that's where it's all come. Sheep be God, sheep. So it's going to be up to you to get out there to the highways and to the byways, to your friends, to your enemies, your foes, whatever. Because if they don't make it to heaven, that blood is not upon my hands. They don't make it to heaven, and you didn't make an attempt. When the Lord says, go talk to them. And you say, well, I can't. I'm tongue-tied. I can't talk to them. Go talk to them. But, Lord, you know I can't talk to them. Go talk to them. You can make every excuse you want to God, but God's always going to come back to, go talk to them. See, and if you will open up, what's the difference is, in yourself, you can't. In yourself, you probably don't have the ability to say one word. But when you make that step forward, all of a sudden, words come to mind. All of a sudden, scriptures you've gotten out of the Bible come back to mind. All of a sudden, you're saying, oh, I wanted to say I like you, and I truly want to, you know, you'll open up to them because God will be with you. God will help you. I'm not telling you to do it yourself because you'll fail if you do it yourself. But if you want to achieve it, you achieve it with baby steps. You achieve it by asking God, God, give me the words. Give me the words to say. If you really want me to go out there and talk to them, then you got to open up and give me the words to say because I definitely don't know what to say. And I will tell you that he will give you the words to say. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, this has been your message. And I pray this morning, oh God, that it not just penetrate each and one out there, but God, that it penetrates even my heart. Help me to become that fat Christian that you want me to be. Help me, Lord Jesus, to take the steps forward that you desire me to take. And as I say this, oh God, I say that everyone out there in our audience today that will do the same. If you're that person and you say you want to take and go forward for the Lord this year and you want to do something new for the Lord this year, raise your hand this morning and let the Lord see it. Because I see it. Yes, I see those hands all throughout the congregation. God, you see them. I pray you be with them today. I pray, God, this week you encourage them. And for those, oh Lord, that will step out in faith to talk for you, God, that you will encourage them and give them the right words to say. Give them the words that will encourage the person that they're talking to. I pray this in your mighty name. Open their mouth and fill it with your words, I pray. Be with us this day in your mighty name. Amen. Do not forget, Thursday is prayer. We're back to prayer on Thursday, and that'll be at the fellowship hall. So prepare for that for Thursday evening for prayer. And I'll get with the board to talk over meeting time. So God bless you all. It is full tear down today.